Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week it is my absolute honor to welcome on somebody who I have known longer than anybody I think I've been friends with in my entire life. I met this dude back long, long ago when he was just a little kid, and now he is getting ready to retire from the Navy after an illustrious career. So let's welcome in Mr. James Aiken. Jamie, you ready to go for a run?
I am, Mike. I really appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you today and for your podcast family, just to be able to share some of my insights and some of my journey. I am not, like many of your listeners, a ultra person, although I've certainly done a lot of ultra stuff in my 35 years in the Navy. And I've been blessed that the Navy has promoted me many times, far more than I ever expected, and given me far more opportunities than I could ever imagine. So I really appreciate the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you today.
You bet. I am so glad we could make this happen because I'm just excited. So for those of you who are wondering, Jamie and I met long, 34 years ago, right?
Yeah, 34 years ago in Virginia Beach or Norfolk, Virginia. And we actually went to the same church and we played a lot of basketball together well before either one of us ever thought about running the step in our lives. So our idea of running was from one baseline to the other.
Yeah, and one of us was a little bit better basketball player than the other, right?
It's your show, Mike. We'll stick to whatever you have in mind.
There you go. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, my idea of basketball is a firm check is better than letting the guy go around you. So, you know, I'm not exactly the best basketball player, but you know, the best person I have ever met about talking trash on the basketball court is Mr. James Aiken. Would you agree?
I would just tell you that I like to have fun. And I think that, you know, you can, you know, whatever you do, you need to do it with passion. And I would tell you that sometimes that means sort of a little bit of back and forth. And I would tell you that I think you and I are both pretty committed to making sure that, you know, you can have a fun back and forth. And it doesn't necessarily have to be vulgar or profane or derogatory. You know, nothing like telling someone they can't guard you. And you don't even have to add any expletives when you do that.
Exactly. Did you ever have to drag me out of a gym?
We did have one experience where you and the youth pastor from church had to be separated. So that sounds so bad, doesn't it? that certainly was an interesting experience along our journey of life, Mike. Certainly the case.
Yeah. It always sounds good when we had to separate you and the youth pastor at a men's retreat. That sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what, James? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and your family and all that good stuff.
So probably most important, I'm a person of faith. I committed my life to Jesus Christ when I was about 6 years old, so literally 50 plus years ago. And then in the journey, I was growing up in Western Pennsylvania, basically on almost like a dare. A friend of mine told me that I should apply for this scholarship to join the United States Navy. I have five younger brothers. So what I did was, I planned that I would try this Navy journey for 4 years after the Navy paid for my education at the Pennsylvania State University. And 4 years and I was going to be done. And I just promised myself when the good days stopped outnumbering the bad days, I would quit. And somehow the good have way outnumbered the bad. And here I am, 35 years later.
And you're going to be retiring. And what are you retiring at? What's your rank?
Yeah, so I'm a two-star admiral, so a rear admiral in the United States Navy. And my present job is that I command the 4th Fleet or the Navy forces in South and Central America. So all of South and Central America. Even right now, as we speak, the aircraft carrier USS George Washington is going around South America. So that's one of the ships that's working with us and, impacting the mission and doing a lot of operations with our partners and allies in South and Central America.
So did the George Washington go through the Panama Canal?
No, they'll actually go through the Strait of Magellan. So okay. they'll they'll go down. They're too big to actually go through the Panama Canal, so they're down south, and they'll go through the Strait of Magellan later this week.
That's a nice voyage. Have you done that through the Strait of Magellan?
I have not, and I really had hoped to. And then we just have a lot of things going on here at the headquarters in Jacksonville, Florida, so I wasn't able to travel. Certainly, that was something that was on my bucket list. I'll just have to leave that on my bucket list. I will tell you that I've checked off many of the things on my bucket list. I've visited 110 countries. I've traveled around the world. I've been in every body of water, every ocean. So, and I've been to every continent except for Antarctica.
Wow, that's amazing. I was going to ask you, so you've been in every body of water that a ship could possibly be in, right?
Every body of water.
That's amazing. Wow, 35 years seems like, I mean, it still seems like yesterday when we met and you were this little dorky Lieutenant JG.
Well, I appreciate the vote of confidence. It does go quick. One of those things where you almost feel like you blink, and the next thing you know, you wake up and here you are 34 years later in terms of our relationship, and 35 years in the Navy, and I've had some tremendous opportunities and a few challenges along the way, and successes, like I say with the staff all the time, certainly lots of opportunity to win and certainly lots of opportunity to learn.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when we met, you were single, and now you are married. And how many kids do you have?
Yeah, so my wife and I have been married. Matter of fact, this July, we have been married for 25 years and we have 5 kids. And you will probably think that I'm way too organized or maybe sort of operationally minded, but we have 5 kids and they're all 2 years apart. So 22, 20, 18, 16, and 14. Now, not exactly 2 years apart, but I'm
Close
able to
enough.
quickly rattle off their ages
That
because of
is awesome.
they're all years apart. Yes.
Cool. And so you've got three that are graduated from high school now, right?
Yeah, 3 that have graduated and 2 that are still in high school. And we go girl, boy, boy. And as I've mentioned to you many times before, Mike, my 2 boys at the end, they keep it lively. They're Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, always ready for an adventure.
That's right. And your middle daughter is also very adventurous and she just graduated, right? So congratulations to Michaela.
Yes, she is quite the young lady with organizational skills and people skills. And, she was a basketball player, the captain of the basketball team, and she was the co-lead for the play in school. And she graduated with highest honors. And she just a really, really special young.
Yeah. Well, with a name like Michaela, I mean, she had to turn out perfect.
That is exactly the case, Michael. You keep preaching that.
That's right. I will. Not that I'm biased or anything. I love all your kids, all of them equally. But my
That's great.
favorite name is Michaela. How long did I beg you to name one of your children Michael?
Well, yeah, that's we're I think Michaela will work just fine, right?
You sure you don't want to have another one? Give it another
I
shot.
think we're I think we're pretty good. I think I would be like Abraham and Sarah if I had any more at my age.
That is awesome. So now, one of the things that I mean, I think, with a long naval career and with the amazing marriage that you have with Tirza and 5 kids, that takes a lot of endurance, doesn't it?
It does, Mike. And I remember as I pondered our time together, I remember when I was a young guy, really right after we met, that I worked for a guy who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he was a prisoner of war for 5.5 years. And I remember someone asking him one time, and he said, "Admiral, tell me how in the world you could actually be a prisoner of war in the Hanoi Hilton for 5.5 years." And he looked at the person and he said, "Have you ever done something you didn't want to do?" And the young petty officer, the young sailor in the Navy said, "Yes, sir, I have." And he said, "I just did something I didn't want to do every day for 5.5 years." And that really has been the secret in terms of endurance, is it's 1 day at a time. I do a talk with some of the sailors that I get to interact with, and I in my uniform, I usually put on a pair of bright running shoes. I have these really bright blue running shoes, and it's just a real good reminder to be where your shoes are each and every day. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. I can't change that. Don't worry about tomorrow, because if I don't do what I'm supposed to do today, tomorrow's never promised me.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, in terms of discipline, in order to keep a naval career like yours from a young ensign, did you ever think two-star admiral was in the cards for you?
Mike, I loved the Navy, and I loved the Navy because it was an opportunity to be able to impact and add value to people. It was an opportunity to be able to be part of a team and to be part of something bigger than myself. And that was really what I was hoping for. And as I continued to do that, and when I looked out for people, added value to people, I was given more and more opportunity. And I thought, when I'm given more opportunity, then I can add more value to people. You know, even as I say that, I remember the story of the first guy that I ever reenlisted, and I literally just ran into him here down in Jacksonville, but his name was Brian King, and he was a young sailor, Mike, from inner city Detroit. And I remember when I was getting ready to reenlist him, I asked him the question. I said, you know, he was a young bosun mate, and I said, "Hey, why did you join the Navy?" And he said, "Well, Mr. Aiken, I joined the Navy to see the ocean." And I said, what do you mean by that? To see the ocean? I mean, I said, you mean to see the world, right? And he said, no, sir. He said, I'm an inner city kid from Detroit. And I would have never had this opportunity to go all the places and see all the things we've seen if it hadn't been for joining the Navy. And I could probably even end the story right there, except that there's more to the story. And the more to the story was, is that 9 years after we had that conversation, he called me up and he said, "Hey, Mr. Aiken, this is now," he was a first class petty officer of the United States Navy, so a middle manager. And he said, "I just got picked up for an officer program." He said, "And I'd like for you to be the guest speaker at my ceremony." And then
Wow.
here I am, you know, even fast forward where I ran into him here in Jacksonville, and now he's retired as a commander in the United States Navy. I mean, what
Wow.
opportunity? And I won't say that I played a big role in it, but he was one of those guys where I invested in him and I added value, you know, and along the way, he really made a whole new life for himself and for his family.
That's an awesome story because that just tells you how much opportunity there is out there. If you just get out and pursue it, I love that story because here's a young kid from inner city that, you know, the world is saying you're never going to amount to anything because you're an inner city kid. And here's a dude who retired commander in the United States Navy as a Mustang officer. That's phenomenal. That's a great story.
It's a fabulous story, Mike. And that's just one. I mean, I could go through and share stories of other people and teams that I've been able to be part of. That's why I've stuck with it as long as I have. And, you know, I don't think I ever had the aspiration to be an admiral. I mean, I thought that it would be cool to command a ship just because of the opportunity and to be able to lead and be able to shape, be able to bring a team together. Not necessarily for the promotion. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think the rank really matters a whole lot to me. It's just to be part of something bigger than myself.
Yeah, and you've done it all over the place. How many ships have you commanded?
So I commanded a ship, a destroyer, USS Chung Hoon, and then I commanded a squadron of ships, which was anywhere from about 6 to about 14 ships. And then I commanded the aircraft carrier strike group, Abraham Lincoln, which was an aircraft carrier, about 100 airplanes, and about 6 or 7 ships, a replenishment ship. And then most recently, now I command the fleet in South and Central America.
That's incredible. Wow. And all this from beginning at Penn State University, just kind of going on a dare to join the ROTC program.
That's exactly the case. I mean, matter of fact, I was giving a talk just this morning. And I was talking about the line, and maybe only your older podcaster listeners will know this, but I was talking about the line from Gomer Pyle, where he always used to say, "Surprise, surprise, surprise." And Mike, that is exactly the case. I, you know, if you would have had me script the journey from, you know, being a freshman at, you know, Penn State to where I am now, I don't think I could have even made it up. And
So
even it goes to the scripture in Ephesians where it says that God can do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine.
yes.
This is certainly more than I could ever ask or imagine.
So I have a very important Penn State question. You ready?
Go ahead. Yes.
Who are the four guys on the sweatshirt?
Three guys.
Three guys, yeah. Who are the three guys on the sweatshirt?
Yeah. So those of you who don't know, the inside joke is I had this sweatshirt and it was the same sweatshirt that they make for Notre Dame or Ohio State or Michigan. And it has these three old players who all have on like leather helmets. And then it says Penn State across the front. And I was always asked by my good friend, Michael Horner, hey, who do you think those three, who are those three guys? And I always would ask him or reply, they're the same three guys that were on the Ohio State, the Michigan, the Notre Dame, the Florida State sweatshirts as well.
And how many years did my wife steal that sweatshirt from me for?
I'm not sure I even have it back. We Mike and I did a few road trips along the way, and I remember Virginia must have been cold or something, and I said, here, you can have my sweatshirt, and I said, just give it back to me when you're done with it, and apparently she wasn't done with it for a while.
I'm not sure you ever got it back. We'll have to check with her. Okay. So she's on record now as having stolen a sweatshirt from you of the three guys.
Yeah, you might want to ask her who the three guys are.
That will turn out wonderful. Speaking of road trips, you actually have done a little bit of running since, you know, this is a running podcast and everything. You've done a little bit of running yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, Mike, when I think about my fitness journey, you know, as I mentioned, or you mentioned, I was a big basketball player when I was younger. I mean, I remember summers practicing, no exaggeration, around 8 hours a day, where I was just committed and I was pushing myself and, you know, sprints and, you know, just a lot of different stuff to become a pretty good basketball player. And, you know, and it paid off. I was a pretty good high school player, and I got recruited to play some small school at some small schools. You know, and then as you sort of start growing up or getting older, you know, you still love to play basketball and you still probably can compete. And it changes from more of a, you know, a sport to more of recreation. You know, you just enjoy the competition. And then I started to realize, Mike, that when I went, I would enjoy the competition. And probably a lot of my psyche associated with playing was, hey, if we won or I played well, I was excited. And if we didn't win or I didn't play well, I wasn't as excited. And, you know, in some days I'd mix it up and I'd go for a run. And then I realized at the end of this, and I'll tell you where this really hit me was when my ship was in Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, or Norfolk Naval Shipyard as commonly called, but in Portsmouth, Virginia. And there were days when I'd go to the gym and I'd come back and I would sort of just be like, you know, almost like harumph, you know, let's get to work this afternoon. And then when I went for a run, you know, and this was 30 years ago, when I would go for a run, I would just come back and I was recharged. I thought about a lot of stuff. I'd cleared my mind and I just realized the value of running. And so I have really enjoyed running through the years. I've done a lot of 5Ks. I've done a lot of 10Ks. I actually, probably surprising to you, I even won a 5K for my age group.
Serious? That's awesome.
And then, you know, probably my culminating run was I did the Pittsburgh Marathon, which was a little bit of a challenge, to be honest. And I think, you know, Mike, you know firsthand because you were there with me. So I trained in Virginia Beach, and then I ran the hills of Pittsburgh. And that the first 21 miles was amazing. And the last five plus miles were pretty rough. I remember saying to my brothers that if a $100 bill blew by right now, I wouldn't bend down to pick it up because my hamstrings were so tight.
And so now the coolest thing about you running the Pittsburgh Marathon, how many brothers did you run with?
Yeah, so I ran actually with, I think, four of my brothers, which was pretty exciting that, you know, we were able to do that and to be able to spend some time. And then not only that, but I, you know, as Mike sort of referred to, is I have five brothers. And what we did was we all stuck together and we have the six of us all within 10 years. So we're just a bit competitive. But we all stuck together, and then at the end, we all held hands and ran across the finish line together. So that was a pretty
special such a
day.
Special moment, yeah,
and pretty awesome to be able to be part of that, and you know, and that's really part of the joy of running is you know, to be able to, you know, to do it with someone else. You know, I mean, certainly there's the endorphins associated with just getting out and running on your own, but to be able to run with someone else and get out and do it, it really, really is special. And really, you can do so much more when you have someone, you know, who pushes you or challenges you or even encourages you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were a huge part of my first marathon. Do you remember that in 2011?
I do. It was I wasn't necessarily sure you could call it running a marathon. I'll probably pause there and let you explain that a little bit more.
Hey, I bounced in my Tigger boots very well through the whole marathon course. So, yeah.
And I
So.
will tell you, having, I think, ran about half of the marathon, I would tell you that I didn't see anyone else running in Tigger boots. I could honestly say in the Marine Corps marathon that I've never seen anyone during that marathon or since run in Tigger boots.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody else, period, run a 5K, 10K, half marathon or marathon in Kangoo boots ever.
I
So
mean, could you, maybe I would suggest when you do this run here, the 6 day run, maybe some portion of your 6 day run could be in Tigger boots.
man, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But my suitcase, man, I just don't know if I have room for Tigger boots. I may just have to do this in regular shoes. So
What do you think you could wear them on the plane?
yeah, I'm sure security would love that. Take your
Or
whatever
take your
those things are
whatever
off.
those are, take those off.
That's right. And please don't put those back on in the airport. You're scaring people.
I could just see you trying to go through the scanner and hitting your head on boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that would happen. You know me way too well. So, yeah. So you can see that's a vivid picture for you, isn't it? Because you can totally picture me doing that.
I certainly can, Michael. I certainly can.
Yes, it is. We've had a lot of fun together. So one of the biggest things, I mean, throughout your life, throughout your career, is you have this distinct ability to be able to pivot and adapt to whatever the situation is in front of you. Where does that come from?
You know, Mike, I spend some time each and every day doing reflection, doing some reading, and I really feel like I work to be mentally prepared for whatever situation, and realize that, you know, foundationally, a couple things always come to mind. You know, th this too shall pass. You know, how can I make the most of this situation? How can I look at this as look at this tremendous opportunity that I've been given? You know, and then even the fourth thing I'd say is well, this is a challenge, and this is really going to make a great memory when we come through this. So those are probably foundationally some of the things that I think of when faced with some of the toughest challenges that I've faced, you know, in my family, in my faith, in the Navy, you know, and even in my personal journey.
That's awesome. Let's go here. So, what has been your favorite ship that you've been on?
I would tell you, and I always share. Matter of fact, I have a breakfast tomorrow morning with the commanding officers here on the waterfront. And I always remind them that the opportunity, the first time that you have the opportunity to command, it's a tremendous responsibility. It's a tremendous gifting. It's a tremendous blessing. And so I would say the destroyer that I commanded in Pearl Harbor was pretty amazing. I really had an amazing team, just everything that fell into place, you know, the team that I was part of, the operations that we did. It was really just a tremendous journey, experience. Growing experience, you know, and certainly there were many challenges along the way, and you know, I think that resistance in life is one of the things that you know gives you the opportunity to build strength.
And what was Chung Hoon the ship you were on during the first Gulf War?
No, that was the one that I commanded. So
Okay.
Chung Hoon was the destroyer that I commanded out of Pearl Harbor, and we actually deployed, and we did some piracy stuff. We did some stuff in the South China Sea, and then we also protected the oil platforms during the time that we were in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you know, many people don't realize that the oil platforms off the coast of Iraq were responsible for about in the high 90s percentage of the Iraqi economy, and if something was to happen to them, their economy would be decimated, and the country would just go to absolute chaos.
Wow. Wow.
So to
So
be able to
you were
protect those oil
guarding those
platforms.
things during, wow, that's
Yeah,
incredible.
we were, and I will tell you that not a whole lot of water underneath the bottom of the ship, underneath the keel. So it was a very, very trying time. A very
Oh
trying
yeah.
time.
Wow.
So I do have a great story is I remember that I would get up every morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go sit on the bridge wing, and it would be about 100 degrees out off the coast of Iraq. And I would usually do a little bit of reading, like I mentioned. And I remember that I was reading a book about finding peace, you know, and just just an opportunity to think, you know, and I remember being up there and the book must have got a little bit boring, or maybe I was a little bit tired. And the next thing you know, the book was laying on my chest and I had nodded off. And, you know, I was just sitting on the bridge wing chair. And a couple of the junior officers who were assigned to the ship thought it was pretty funny that I was reading a book about peace and nodding off at the same time.
Very appropriate. That's awesome. That's
And
incredible.
Told him that I had found that piece that I was looking for in the book, and that was the reason why I nodded off.
That's right. See, then they had to read the book. Did any of the junior officers read the book that you were reading?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them have. Certainly, I have had a lot of folks who have served with me who have had their own faith, or who maybe I've been able to influence the faith. So that's been certainly part of my journey is the ability to, you know, just maybe provide some insight, some guidance to folks who are looking for something in life, and be able to share some of my own experiences along the way.
That's awesome. So you've had a lot of really incredible mentors throughout your career, right?
I have. I was actually just thinking about 10 people who inspired me in this journey. And my hope or desire is to write each of them a letter here in the near future. And really just to say thanks, because I don't think we do a good enough job of going back and thanking those who shaped us and who invested in us through the years.
Right. So I was thinking of one the other day who I'm sure you'll remember early in your career from church. Are you still in contact with him?
No, I mean, I actually have tried to reach out to him, and this is Captain Bruce Cavey. Bruce was a submarine officer, and I'll tell you what, he was one of those guys who was football player at the United States Naval Academy, commanded a submarine, actually, I think two submarines, and really just a special officer. And more importantly is he was just really, really strong in his faith, and really would hold you accountable, would challenge you, would push you, would encourage you, you know, and then when you fell down, he'd help you up. And he certainly was on my list of folks that I wrote down. And really at a really sort of a crossroads in my time in the Navy was one of those guys who really invested in me, and I will be forever grateful. And I will tell you that is one of my goals, is just to connect with them. I've left messages for him through the years, but we've just never been able to connect. I don't know if I have a bad number, or he's probably a good 20 years older than I am. So I would bet that he's probably getting up there in years.
Yeah, he was an amazing man. So I just remember some of the conversations we had around some of the things that he was challenging me with. And, you know, I think one of the things I've always admired about you is you're able to take correction very well. Like, you don't internalize it and think that you're a bad person, but you're able to turn it and go, okay, well, how do I make the changes that are necessary in order to become the person that God created me to be? And I think you just have a very unique ability to do that. And I just remember Bruce was one of those guys that kind of, I wouldn't say got on you a little bit, but he gave you some advice that was probably difficult to hear at the time, but I'm sure it has benefited your career greatly.
Yeah, I think, Mike, you know, one of the key characteristics that we all have to have as leaders is humility. And we have to be humble enough that someone else can speak into our lives. I spend a lot of time asking questions. I want to make sure that people know that I still want to learn. And I still realize that the people around me, no matter how senior or how junior is, there's something that I can pick up from that. And I have to have that humility to be able to ask the questions, and then not only ask the question, but, you know, ask the question in such a way that I listen to understand, and subsequent questions should be just more to help me understand better.
Yeah. I always tell people there's a difference between listening and hearing. Hearing, you're just hearing and you're already formulating what it is you're going to say in response to what you're hearing. Listening, you internalize it, and now you're going to let that churn through your head, your heart, your soul, until there's something in there that is going to cause you to either change what you're doing, sharpen what you're doing, be better at what you're doing, or completely go on a whole different path. And that's why I think you hit the nail on the head. There's a huge importance, and I think it's almost like we've forgotten it in our culture today, of listening.
Without a doubt, Mike. You know, my father used to remind me all the time that God gave me two ears and one mouth for a reason, that I should listen twice as much as I talk.
So let's start bringing this to a close. So you're getting ready to retire. August is the retirement date, right?
Yeah, August 1st, I will retire with 35 years in the United States, and then we will retire here to Jacksonville. Still working through what exactly I want to do on the back end. I know I want to do something that adds value. I want to do something that's different, than what I did for my 35 years in the Navy. Probably my book of the year last year with Arthur Brooks, Strength to Strength. And Mr. Brooks talks about two different phases of our lives. That one phase, that creative phase, where we sort of create, and then the second phase in our life is that sage phase. And he said that the people who are most satisfied in life embrace both of those phases. And really, that I think that's my goal, is to embrace that sage phase of my life. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that would be consulting. That would be being I got trained a number of years ago to be a life coach, a leadership mentor. Something along those lines are some of the things that I've thought about for the next phase of my life.
That's awesome. Yeah, so first we need to pray in perfect house for you and the family to move into. So we'll be praying about that.
Yeah, I would tell you that there always is that option to be in a van down by the river.
Absolutely. Now you've just spoken Jenny's love language. Oh my gosh. I can totally picture you and Tirza in a van down by the river. Tirza is
Maybe
going to kill me.
I probably could become a motivational speaker. And I assume maybe some of your podcast listeners have also seen the Farley skit with the van down by the river.
That man, Chris Farley, was one of the best actors ever in the history of the world. I mean, I tell all new salespeople, you just got to watch Tommy Boy. And then they look at me like, what? I'm like, just watch Tommy Boy. You'll understand what I mean about how you have to develop as a salesperson, watching the span of Chris Farley beginning and at the end. And it's just like total the transformation you have to make in order to be a successful salesperson. But so yeah, Tommy Boy. So you're gonna the next week, all of a sudden, there's going to be all these downloading of Tommy Boy, and people are going to be going, why are is everybody downloading Tommy Boy and watching the Chris Farley skit down by the river? So, yes. All right. Stop it, James.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. You gotta have a little comedic creep. Okay. So, as you know, the name of the podcast, Living and Ultralife. When you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Mike, the word that I underline every time I hear that and every time I listen to your podcast is the word living, right? And I've heard the quote that many of us die long before we stop living. And I would just tell you that that's really what I want to do, is I want to live life to the fullest. I want to make the most of each and every day. I don't want to hang on and live to be 100 and be in a wheelchair or whatever the case is. I mean, if that's my lot in life, I'm still going to live every day to the fullest. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I live today. And that's the question that I have to ask myself each and every day, is have I lived my life to the fullest today? And am I continuing to live my life in such a way, really, that glorifies God?
That last part was the most important part. Live your life to the full in a way that glorifies God. I mean, that sums up how we should be living every day. James, I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast. I've wanted to make this happen for such a long time, and it's just such an honor to have you on. You'll always be one of my favorite people in the world. And so thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Mike. And I wish you and your podcast listeners all the best, and really live that ultra life.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.